whole round table of guests today. We have Ralph in the upper left-hand corner. We got Steve lower left. We got Alex upper right. We got Baronone coming in and out. We're looking at his floor or like part of his car dashboard or something right now.
That's how I do things.
Okay, and we got Nick in the little bubble. We're going to be going between a couple views today to try to keep everything rotating. We hope you guys have had a great week. ID Sports. Okay, I'm working on getting all the technicals set up, make sure that we're sending all our invites out to everyone who is going to join us on our stream today. Hopefully that is you. Hopefully you found our Facebook notifications. We're going to start out with a little icebreaker question today, and that is, what is the first personalized sports jersey you owned? Did you ever see that player play live? And did you ever own them in fantasy? This is going back to a question I had earlier that I want to bring up in a little bit, but I need to get going with the little tech specs, doing the little doots and the dots on the keyboard and stuff. So let's throw over to Ralph. First personalized sports jersey you ever owned. Did you see that player play live? Did you own them in fantasy? Go.
The first one I can remember ever owning was a Joe Sakic Colorado Avalanche hockey jersey when I lived back in Colorado. I did see him play live. And fun fact, my brother actually played with his son when they were mites, so I actually got to meet him in person. Wasn't playing fantasy hockey at the time, so I never used him in fantasy hockey. But that was the first personalized sports jersey that I could remember owning.
Awesome, good stuff. Who's up next? Let's throw it over to Alex, get a little mix going.
If I tell you the jersey I get, I'm going to show my age. The first jersey I got and the player actually gave it to me was Bogey Bogicic, New York Cosmos, early 80s. I went to every New York Cosmos game with my dad at the old Giant Stadium, and we met him after the game. He gave me the jersey, and I wore it like crazy, like all the time.
Cool. Steve, first sports jersey. Do you remember that far back?
So the first jersey I ever owned was Sidney Rice when he played for the Minnesota Vikings, because I went to high school with Sidney Rice. And it was the year that Minnesota went to the NFC Championship against the Saints. I never got to see Sidney Rice play live, but I did own him in fantasy, yes.
Awesome, man. Nick, who do you got?
My first jersey was Michael Strahan, New York Giant, New York Giant legend. Never got to see him play live, never had him in fantasy, obviously, but...
Awesome.
Hey, there's always IDP League.
Yeah, I played in one.
Hey guys, I'm about to ask a quick question. I don't see us online. Is anyone else watching?
Yeah, wrong link. You gotta go to the link on our website. I mean, on our YouTube page. It says that we're live.
Yeah,
click the right link, Alex.
I just went to YouTube. Click that refresh.
Type in I80 Sports.
At least I'm here. Beth Fur is not here, so I'm trying.
I'm here. Can you guys hear?
Yeah, we can hear you.
That's right. My camera's.
Well, it's working. Here. It's just showing us something. It's just showing us the floor or something. Whatever. Okay. It's great because we're on speaker view, so whoever's speaking takes over the chat in that time. So as long as you're the last one to talk, there's just a big black ball there. As soon as someone else clicks over, it's going to go to them. Okay. So my first sports jersey, I don't remember. It was either Jason Sehorn from the New York Giants or Chipper Jones. Kind of around the same time. We're thinking like 95, 96 probably. So Rios, we're going to hit over to you. Guys, let's just reintroduce our buddy Bernone. He's joined us before on the Soccer Channel to talk about some Colombian soccer teams, and he's here to join us just to talk today. The question
Did you
going,
say Colombian? Colombian?
Costa Rican. That's what I said, man. Oh, no, notice his face shows up and I call him a Colombian. Notice how that works out. First personalized sports jersey that you've ever owned, did you ever see them play live?
I do not buy paint that I put on a jersey only because I know I'll be around. I'll stick around for the entire time on these players. I do have a Felipe jersey did that using for Adidas. I got his a large, and you know, my muscles don't fit in a large. But
is that what you call them? That's
what I call them. Like to call them. But I do not. I have a flip, but not personal, just regulars.
Okay, because that's exactly actually what I want to hit on. That's like the hypothetical that we were talking about. Is there an age or a time in your life where you think it's kind of weird to start getting personalized jerseys? Because I've been looking at Braves jerseys, and I was talking with one of my buddies about it, and I was saying like, not only is it like the weird like the player sticking around. But like I was looking at like getting like an Albies jersey or something like that, and I was like, do you really want a 24-year-old like? kid's name on your back? Like, does it ever get weird as a man to, like, have the name of another person on your back? Is it an age thing? Does anyone else feel that? Let's throw it over to Alex. I know Alex is going to have a thought on that.
If you're a fan of whatever team, I don't care if you're 5 years old or 105 years old, you can put whatever you want on that. You want to put an old player? You want to put a young player? You want to put your old name on it? You want to put your significant other's name on it? I don't care. If you're a fan of the team, you're paying money for the jersey, you have the right to put whatever the heck you want on it. I don't care how old you are.
Well, you have the right. But, sure. Like, does anyone else, like have any thoughts, like a strong opinion on this one way or another?
Yeah, Bob, I am totally against putting your name on it. I don't know what it is about it. I just don't like it. I just don't like it. You're not part of the team. You're never going to be a part of the. So why put your name on the jersey? I get it. You know what? You had a good point there before in saying, like, you're going to be around forever. Like, you're a loyal fan. You want to put your fandom on your back. That's cool. I respect that.
You're not getting a cowbell man put across the numbers there?
What's that?
You're not getting cowbell man put across the numbers?
No. I mean, they're going to charge me extra for my last name anyway with 13 letters. So I'm not going to be able to.
Exactly.
I'm not going to be able to put that on. But you know what? I don't care. You know, I honestly like having old school players on my back because made impact on the team. So I think if you're going to pick a player to put on your back, it's somebody that made an impact on the team that was there for a long time. Like Derek Jeter. Putting Derek Jeter on, nothing wrong with
it. Well, it would just be a number anyway at that point, wouldn't it? Because Yankees don't put real names.
What's that?
Yankees don't put real names, so it would just be a number.
Right.
So not even any. Okay.
You can still get a name on the back of a
jersey. Oh, if you put a name on the back of a Yankee jersey, major disrespect. that is, pay the extra $30 and put no name on the back of the jersey, just the number. That's how it's meant to feel very strong.
Steve, I see you shaking your head. What's going on in that?
I mean, I own a Ben Roethlisberger jersey and I own a Juju Smith-Schuster jersey. I owned a Le'Veon Bell jersey, but then after he went to the Jets, I donated that to Goodwill. So, like, I mean, I do have a jersey with my name on it, but that was for a football team that I played for. So, you know, you're a fan of the sport. When you buy a jersey, you're supporting that team and that player.
You're paying the salary.
So you're helping pay a salary, exactly. So, you know, it doesn't get too weird that there are people that are like 100 that are wearing sports jerseys for their favorite team. It's not uncommon. It's not weird. You're supporting your team. You're supporting your favorite team.
What about guys that buy jerseys of other teams?
Yeah, so they're now, we said a little bit about that. I'm wearing a Braves hat today, but I was wearing a Brooklyn Dodgers hat, kind of a family connection. My great-grandfather was a huge fan. My grandmother grew up watching the team. A lot of history with the Brooklyn Dodgers. There's a B. My name starts with a B. There are a couple of reasons I don't find it very weird to have that jersey, especially when I wore it on Jackie Robinson Day. But what about buying the a jersey of a player not on your favorite team that you owned in fantasy? Is that all right, Alex?
I mean, it's kind of weird. If your money, you can buy whatever you want. But I'm not going to buy a Dustin Pedroia jersey anytime soon. Even though you know I think Red Sox, that's just not that sacrilegious as a Yankee fan. He's not going to do it. I know Eric is not going to buy anyone from DC United's jersey or NYC. That's just not. It doesn't matter if he's playing fantasy or not. It's just not going to happen. I mean,
and I'm not gonna buy an Ezekiel Elliott jersey anytime. So you know, Ezekiel Elliott has won me 2 fantasy championships. But you don't see me going out, wasting $150 on his jersey just because I own him in fantasy.
One year, my fantasy team, we got like bootleg jerseys in one of our leagues, and when you drafted that player, like you got the jersey. That's kind of I guess that's a lot of money, but I always thought that was kind of a cool thing to do. Like when we made our draft pick, like we had like the first round, like all 12 jerseys, they were bootlegs. I mean, it is what it is. But then like when you pick that player, you grab the jersey, you put it on. Cool. Just talking to myself. Cool. Good job, guys.
We're listening.
It seemed like you were going on a rant.
Yeah. Bob, the story has to have an A, B, and a C. You got lost in the B.
Yeah, don't tell me how to live my life.
And you didn't go to a C.
You know what? You were talking about Brooklyn Dodgers hats. I'm all for like legacy teams and things like that, and throwback team and wearing hats of that, and maybe a jersey or a T-shirt. I'm totally cool with that. But if you are a Giants fan, you're not wearing a Broncosy.
Yeah, I won so much money, like maybe my third or fourth year playing fantasy with Jamal Charles. I own a Jamal Charles shirt to this day. It's my money. I do what I want.
It's your money.
Yeah. It's your money. Use it when you need it.
We have a few guys up in the boards now. Let's see. Got a couple listeners chiming in. Guys, throw some comments down. Ask some questions. We're going to move on to kind of the actual material of the podcast at this point. And we want to talk a little bit about the Wonderlic test that went down this week. For those of you who aren't following, all NFL football players take what's called the Wonderlic test. It's kind of a math and logic test. It asks you questions about, you know, if you're down by 10 points, what are the four combinations of scores? And it's timed, and those players get a score. I think it's like 1 through 45 or 1 through 50. Wonderlic scores came out this week. Notable quarterbacks include Jake Fromm at 35 overall score, Joe Burrow 34, Jordan Love at 27, Justin Herbert at 25, and Tua Tagovailoa at a wonderful 13 points. So not the brightest, apparently. I don't know if anyone else knew that. Tua, obviously one of the best quarterbacks in this draft class, looking at going as a definite first rounder, but can't get the maths going on. Do you guys take anything away from the Wonderlic test scores from this week?
Nope, because it's totally worthless.
As a bad test taker, I you know what? I don't care. It doesn't bother.
Yeah, there is no correlation. There is zero correlation between how well a player scores on the Wonderlic test and their success in the NFL.
But
zero.
I don't know why
the NFL.
There are certain points where you're a player. You need to make a heads up play. You need to know if risking interception now is worth it or not, or if you need to go for the first down, if it's worth it to take a knee. There are things that come up in a real life situation for the Wonderlic test that I think would, you know, obviously if you're a head coach, you got to know how many 2-point conversions you need. You need to know when to go for it, when to hold. So maybe it matters more for those decision makers. Highest recorded Wonderlic score was Ryan Fitzpatrick at a score of 48, and Lamar Jackson scored a 13. Lamar Jackson with a 13.
Something that more of a like a developmental thing, started like play the game and learning thing, maybe like a high school thing. Like if you're trying to develop a player, they're 12, 13, then that's something where you can use it to determine, you know, how this guy think, what need to develop. But by the time they reach the NFL, I think he can play.
Yeah, Christine brings up a good point. It's not it's testing process, how fast you can process. And while that is true to what you were saying, Bruno, I feel like that would be good for baseball or soccer. Football, you don't want 12-year-old kids playing, you know, and I think that's the way the country's going, full contact football. So I think it is something you kind of learn a little later at an age. But yeah, I feel like you should have known that Tua was going to score a 13 before a week before the draft. I feel like that's something you should have known previously.
I obviously wasn't taking physics in, you know, pre-med at Alabama. I mean, that's obvious. Right?
Yeah. Some of these guys are.
Alabama decided to become a doctor, so that we can throw right out the window.
So we're saying there's no fallback for Tua. Like, it's do or it's bust for Tua.
I'm sure there's going to be GM that looks at this and saying, you know what? I might look the other way and go with maybe Justin Herbert or something like that instead, because he may not be the smartest tool in the shed, so to speak.
Steve,
it might turn some people off.
It might. And has anyone here ever taken the Wonderlic test? Because I have taken it multiple times in the past. Has anyone else taken any version?
No, never.
No.
I completely agree with Steve on this. I don't see what the Wonderlic test has anything to do with how you perform.
Okay, so guys, let's do this. Let's take the Wonderlic test and then come back next week, and we'll talk a little bit more about it. I've taken it. There actually used to be in the Madden franchise mode, if you signed up to be a quarterback, they would give you like a little Wonderlic test. It was like not handwritten. It was like A, B, C, or D choices. But the questions are pretty basic. And like, you know, like Christine said, it's about processing. It's about speed. It is a time test. And it's not like an hour, a shorter amount of time. And it asks you questions like, you know, you're down 20 points, what's the quickest way to, you know, win the game? You know, it asks you about time, like time left three quarters. It's more processing than it is actual math. It's not asking calculus questions. It's not asking, you know, to find the hypotenuse. It's real life relevant questions. And
yeah, but here's the thing. There are so many different factors that can happen in a football game. There was a when I played in a flag league one time, there was a team that was down 21 points with 3 minutes left. They the refs were about to call it. The team says, no, we're going to come back. And lo and behold, they actually wound up, they came back, they tied the game, and then they won in overtime.
So we're, you know, we're going to take the Wonder Lake test, and we're going to get back to this. I'm going to send one out, and we're going to get back to it, because I think you guys think it's a little harder. It's not like the SATs. It's not like that. It's a much more basic computational test. The one question I do want to bring out to Steve, to your point, and I really want to get Barone's thought on this, which is, isn't the NFL Combine and what we do here in the NFL just kind of weird anyway? Like, we've seen these guys play college ball for years, for, you know, 14 games a season, 28 games for some of these guys. Isn't that tape more valuable than what their 40-yard dash time or how many reps they can do on a bench press? Kind of that real life, you know, I would kind of say, like, for Bernone, it would be like, you know, giving a 40-yard dash and then telling, like, Michael Carrick or, like, Jobby Alonso, like, you're too slow, you can't really play professionally. It's been a good ride, but we're going to cut you off right here because your numbers weren't good enough. Isn't that kind of weird that the way the NFL treats this whole combine and Wonder Lake scenario?
It's strange. Like you said, I mean, I think they've all shown that they can play, and they're there for, I mean, I would imagine that prove or show that these guys have been staying in shape and are ready to go. But at the end of the day, all these fitness coaches and have all these athletic trainers, and football has a lot more than soccer performance. So they have all these guys that can peak physical shape to play the game. So I think it just comes down to, like, how well we watch this guy comes down to. I don't care how fast you can dash in a warm-up, in a training session, if you could, you know, if you could run it way faster in a game when there's a crowd on, there's a packed stadium there, putting the pressure on. Sometimes it's even about the players that can handle the pressure of a packed stadium, because you have guys that can play the stadium, played a pickup game, superstars, and then the moment you put a jersey on, you tell them there's a packed stadium, then all of a sudden they forget that they know how to play the game. They're good.
Or in the,
I'm sure that happens in other sports.
In the other way, you also have your big game ballers who just practice really poorly and compete really well when the stands are there. Absolutely.
Right. Ronaldinho's of the world.
Eli Manning scored a 39, so apparently that's another feather in his cap to get into the hall.
Eli Manning scored a 39, he could go into the hall. Okay,
set off, Alex.
Christine is correcting me. Actually, a punter, Pat McNally, scored a 50. He got a perfect score, so I was a little bit wrong there. Eddie bringing up that a lot more weight is given to individual workouts. Yeah, but it's also team sports. It's some sport, so I don't know. I always have – I love – don't get me wrong. I watch the combine. I'll watch the tapes. I get caught up in it too. But I just – I don't think, you know, I don't think it's all that.
Also, correct me if I'm wrong, but the NFL is the only major sport that has anything like a – I know hockey, they don't have anything like that. Baseball, they don't got anything like that. Basketball, they don't have anything like that.
Hold up. The NBA tried to do something like a combine like thing, failed.
But yeah,
are we still considering this conversation? Because they do have one.
Yeah.
They have a combine. What is the MLS has a combine?
They have a combine. The players get together. Same thing, concept.
They also have a draft that doesn't matter, because if you're 18 and you're good, you're already playing professional.
For example, Philadelphia Union traded all the way their draft picks. They didn't want any last year.
Yeah.
They didn't want anything to do with the college players. They're like, we're out. They didn't even care.
There's
been very few players in the draft, which is sad, but...
Years ago, I guess it was a little different, but now with the way they have, you know, youth organizations and youth teams out there for MLS soccer, it's like, if you're 18 and you're good, you're starting. If you're 16 and you're starting. So there's no reason for those players to go to college. If you're 23 coming out of college and you're getting drafted, you're kind of on step three of the program. You're already...
Academies.
This was the last year for the NFL Superdraft, for the MLS Superdraft. They aren't doing it anymore.
So I'm curious, because Christine's putting up all these scores of these different quarterbacks, and they have pretty high numbers. So I'm wondering if there is some sort of core. I want to take it back and kind of do some sort of chart and see, like, what numbers relate to.
We'll take the test. You need to take the test. There's no way to even explain what the test is like if you haven't taken it.
I'll take the test. I'll take the test.
Like Bob said, Lamar Jackson scored like a 12. and look what the hell he did last year. You know what I mean? You look at it that way.
Yeah, but
I mean,
so it's not, how many times did he have to game manage?
I'm telling you, some GMs are going to look at this like they want a smart guy. Maybe they have a complex playbook that the guy may have trouble grasping, take longer.
So yeah.
Like, want to start faster. So it could turn things off. That's the way I'm looking at it.
I was thinking about that, too. Like, what, you know, what if they change playbooks, you know, year after year?
Different offensive coordinator each year. Whole new language. And some of these guys just took a little longer to grasp.
Yeah, sure.
And I guess at the end of the day, when you're putting millions of dollars into assigning a player, you would justify it to the check and say, hey, not only is this guy a baller, but look at the numbers back that he can play.
Yeah, that's how I look at it. Look at their college tape. Their college tape can really show whether they can play or not. You know,
Jamarcus Russell had a Wonderlic of 24. And he didn't know how to study film. I think the joke was that the Raiders gave him blank tapes to see if he was actually studying, and he came back and said he was watching defensive coverage.
Jamarcus Russell?
Yeah.
That's a true story. They were worried that he wasn't doing his homework, so they gave him three tapes, and they said, "We want you to go home. We want you to watch it tonight. This is a performance evaluation. We want to see if you agree with the performance." And he comes in. They speak to him the next day, and he's like, "Yeah, I watched the tapes. I agree with everything you said." And then they said to him, "But the tapes were." So
that's not gonna get you a raise. That's not gonna get you. Yeah, that's really some high school stuff. Okay. Wonderlic test, we're going to take it. We're going to talk about it again next week and see if we think that it's easy enough or difficult enough that any, you know, judgment. You're giving these guys millions of dollars and 24 years old, just graduated. Okay, next question. We're going to go away from the topic of sports. And we're going to talk a little bit about, let's say the, you know, kind of the elephant in the room. We don't know when sports are coming back. We have no idea. It looks like for this season, certain leagues like the NHL are going to try to finish. I don't see that happening soon, but it looks like football is going to get back. MLS is probably canceled. Is that where we're at now?
I don't know.
No, they're still looking.
Yeah.
Yesterday, they were still looking some options. They had it done, and one of the options was to play the games with no fans, and they were asking the players to take a 50% pay cut, which is probably going to come all going nuts.
Not going to happen.
Unfair, in my opinion, but. That's where they're at now.
Now, that brings up the question of, do you prefer watching sports live on TV? Is there any sport that you prefer watching on TV as opposed to in person? Is there any sport that you have to watch in person? I think we're going to go soccer first. We all know you don't need the announcers. Being there in person is the best way to consume a soccer game. Do you guys agree, Alex?
Yes, I agree.
Not even debatable. To me, even ice hockey, we've got really good seats. Hockey live is much better than on television.
Yeah. Agreed. I was just about to say, I love watching hockey live, but I always fall asleep whenever I'm watching hockey on the TV. And then last year, Bob and Mark, they had me come to my first Red Bulls game, and I loved it. I love the MLS experience, but then when I tried to watch MLS on my TV at home, it was a little bit drier for me. But the NFL, I can watch both ways. I can watch the NFL, whether live or on TV. It's just as enjoyable for me both ways.
I like football live, but I don't think I would ever be a season ticket holder because I don't think I would know like the stats. Like I wouldn't know the inside and out if I went every single week. You know, like you only get to play the once and then you kind of watch it on the Jumbotron, but it's not the same. I need that announcer in my head. I need to see and compute and, you know, have my notebook out in front of me, taking notes, you know, doing the red zone. So I definitely prefer football on television. I'll go to a game a year just to say that I'm there, but I prefer consuming football on television, soccer live, baseball. Could be either one. Let's throw over to Nick because we haven't heard from him in a little bit. Sports, what do you watch? Like watching live? What do you prefer on TV? Is there anything better?
I do like hockey live. I think the fans are just as engaged and hyped up, and everybody's chirping at each other. So it definitely is a fun experience. Hockey live. I mean, I like hockey TV too. God, I miss baseball. I do like both equally because I just. I'm a baseball guy, so I really can't get enough of it. So either or for me, for baseball, nothing like sitting in the bleachers on a hot, humid day, Yankee Stadium with a beer.
Absolutely. We're going to talk about food in a little bit, too, because I have very distinct food rituals for the sports that I'm watching. But let's go over to Ralph first and hear what he has to say. Ralph, what do you want? Like, going live. Are there any sports you avoid watching?
See, I've never actually been to a soccer game. It is the only sport I haven't been able to see. I do want to see it live, though, because all I hear is great things about soccer live.
We want to see baseball, it live, too.
That'd be baseball, nice. I prefer live. That's particularly just because I played it all through college, and I like being at the game to see everything that's going on in the field with the defensive shifts, with everything going on. Football, I could watch every game for the rest of my life at home and never actually feel bad about myself. I'd prefer being at home to watch football games. Games live are some of the best games I've ever seen. TV, I like watching hockey on TV too. It just, TV doesn't do that sport justice.
You can't see how fast it is, right? It doesn't. Speed. Yeah, exactly.
The speed of hockey in person is a lot better. Is a lot more apparent than when you watch it on TV. So watching a hockey game live is one of the best shows to watch in any sport.
TV shrinks the rink a little bit. Like, I feel like if they had like a pattern, like in baseball, when you see like an outfielder run over the checkerboard, you can tell how fast they're going. There's no reference in hockey. It just looks like they're gliding back. Yeah. Something great to see live if you haven't.
Especially a live playoff hockey game. Those are insane. I got to see a couple of those when I lived in Colorado, when the Avalanche were in the
I went to a Stanley Cup game for the Devils. So much fun. The Devils lost, but it was so much fun.
We were in Nashville when the Preds went to the playoffs and
Avalanche lost and I was hating it.
Yeah, Ralph wanted to jump off a building, but the atmosphere outside the game was just awesome in itself. I mean, Nashville. Well,
the stadium was just a bridge walk away.
Yeah.
We were on Broadway Street in Nashville, and literally the stadium was a bridge walk away. So everyone was going, we were essentially right outside the stadium, but the atmosphere outside in the bars was fantastic. No one knew I was an Avalanche fan because I didn't have Avalanche jersey with me at the time, which probably was a good thing, but...
Yeah, so we, Nashville added an MLS team, and we could have caught like an MLS game and a baseball game in the same, or a hockey game around the same time. But guess what, guys? There's no live sports.
There's no sports. It was fun to live vicariously thinking about going again. Yeah. Here we are.
One thing I want to add is the college football upcoming season. Now, if they cancel it or don't have fans, the revenue college football teams bring into the university is hundreds of millions of dollars. And if we don't have a season because of this virus, you're going to see other programs of these colleges, like a men's soccer Cincinnati just got cut, a women's field hockey, stuff like that. They're going to start cutting programs because the money that's coming in for football pays for a lot of these sports. Now, I don't know what's going to happen when football, that starts in August. You know, you go out of the SEC, they're getting 70,000-80,000 fans a game. I mean, think of the revenue that's coming in ticket sales. If they're going to play with no fans, where's the money coming from? I know the TV contract's lucrative, but ticket sales are ticket sales, and that is going to be a major problem in college sports going forward if and football does not start on time in college football. I mean, that's going to eliminate a lot of sports in college as we know it.
Of course, and one of the things that I kind of want to bring up for Eddie, I know he's going to be on again this week. Eddie, we did a great draft 1 through 10, our own kind of mock draft on the channel earlier this week. You guys can check that out on any of the links below. And we're actually throwing out an article later this week. We've all been working on our own 32 team mock draft for our Thursday Night Live episode. It's going to be a little companion. We're going to be talking about the picks as they're live. We're going to be comparing them to what the write up that we put out. It's going to be a lot of fun. We have to thank Eddie a lot for throwing that out on there. So that's going to be really good. But yeah, the thing that we're kind of overlooking here is that like college sports, I know we kind of joke about it. We just talked about the Wonderlic test and like players who aren't very bright that get kind of thrown through the programs. They're not really academically based, but they need to put up that facade. If colleges are closed, if the college isn't open for business, can't put a team on the field. It's not like one of these things that the sports can do something different than the rest of the college. These things are combined. Whether, you know, and I'll joke about it again, you may not realize that these are young scholars at the same point, but they're supposed to be on paper. And if they're not there live for, you know, taking classes, they're going to be there live playing football either. That's depressing to talk about.
Yeah, that's true. They are still called student athletes.
Student athletes get a 15 on a Wonderlic test. You know, add in numbers by threes and sevens, but you know, going to Division I, cool. Going to sports stories of the week. Let's get back on track here. Talk a little bit about Sports Stories of the Week, former Louisville offensive tackle and top NFL draft prospect, Mekhi Becton, someone who me and Eddie both had going pretty high, failed a drug test this week. He was flagged after the combine. Apparently, he's addressed us with multiple clubs, saying they're still waiting official notification on the failure of the drug test. The article said the 6'7", 364-pound Becton is seventh on Mel Kiper Jr.'s big board after running the 40-yard dash in 5.1 seconds at the combine. He will enter the NFL drug intervention program at stage one, but has never failed a test before. And if there are no problems in 60 days, he will not face any disciplinary action from the NFL. If you are a team, does this flag drug test stand as, you know, kind of an aberration, or is this a red flag? Let's go to Steve first.
Who'd you say first?
Steve, you.
I'm looking at this like the Laramie Tunsil situation. Remember when Laramie Tunsil?
I mean, he fell far.
I think it was his father or something like that, posted a video of him wearing the gas mask with the bong on it. I view it as a very similar situation, and now Laramie Tunsil, he might wind up being the highest paid offensive lineman in the NFL. So
does anyone know can we just go about that story just for a second? Does anyone know what happened with Laramie Tunsil? He was drafted. I mean, talk about bad judgment. Was it the day before the draft?
I think it was the day of the draft.
The day of the draft,
on his Instagram, pictures show up of him with a bong, like screwed into the front of a face mask. Like he's smoking a bong out of like one of those like big rubber military face masks.
It's a real gas mask. Yeah, it was filled with marijuana smoke. You're going to get drafted real early.
The day of the NFL draft.
Okay. So Laramie Tunsil was projected to go in the top five, and he did drop into the top 10. So I could see some type of drop where he might fall out of the. You and Eddie had him going at four to the Giants, right?
No,
you had him going a little bit later. I don't think he'll drop past the top 10. If the guy can play, a team will take a chance on the talent.
Absolutely.
He's a big boy, and I would take him on the Vikings in a second. Look, it all depends on what the drug is. If you're talking oxy or heroin, I'm not touching the guy. If it's just marijuana, no problem. You're right. You can play for the Vikings. You can play for anybody in the NFL.
If
he has a problem with prescription drugs, that's going to raise a red flag. Jamarcus Russell, for example, with the crank or whatever the hell the codeine syrup he had a problem with. Now, we don't know what he tested, but if it's just marijuana, I have no problem with it. Now, if you got other drugs, now that's going to raise a red flag, and I would reevaluate the pick. Until we know what he tested positive for. You know, you have to back up on that.
Imagine having your NFL career derailed by Sizzurp. Okay, Tunsil ended up going 13th overall in the draft during that year, if I have my numbers correct, to Miami Dolphins, who they'll throw it out there. So, yeah, there's going to be someone that's going to take a chance on Becton. I don't think that it's going to be a big deal. We don't know what the substance was yet, right?
Exactly. That's the point. Until we know, I'm sure the NFL executives are going to know, they're going to draft this guy, they're going to spend millions of dollars on a first-round pick. They're going to know what he tested positive for. I don't know about a HIPAA violation or whatever. They want to know what he tested positive for. Like I said, if it's just marijuana, or how many states have it legal now?
Well, under the current collective bargaining, I think marijuana will no longer be tested in the upcoming season. Is that correct?
It's whether this season or next season. But they're going to be stopping testing.
All right. Now, let's... kind of move on from this. A little talk about the Jaguars today. Jaguars willing to trade running back Leonard Fournette. This came out just a couple minutes before we started filming. Big article and some tweets came this way. Seems like they want to trade all their vets for some draft capital. Does this raise or lower what we talked about on our show earlier, which is the Ngakoue trade for Giants in order for them to move up and take a quarterback like Tua? Fournette, of course, threw some stuff out from Cam Newton earlier in this week. Looks like he doesn't get the choice on who his quarterback is or possibly even what team he plays for. Is this throwing shade at Gardner Minshew? We had a lot of questions around Fournette. Who wants to start, Alex? Why don't we? Let's throw over to Steve.
He's back.
If someone's going to trade for him, he's had an up and down career in the NFL. He's a serviceable running back. When he came out of LSU, we all thought he was going to be the next, you know, great running back, and he's been so-so, I think, so far as a Jacksonville Jaguar. He's only making $4.16 million, which isn't that bad. But to me, I mean, I don't know what could you get for Leonard Fournette right now? You're not going to get a first-round pick. I don't think someone's going to give a first-round pick. Todd Gurley went for stuff like that. So I don't know what the trade value is. And they're really not getting that much cap relief. So I'm kind of puzzled of this. Again, he could walk next year and not re-sign. Maybe that's what they're thinking. He's going to walk after this year. And maybe they want to get something for him. And maybe draft a running back in the second or third round, something like that. But to me, you know, would I take a chance on him? It all depends. What your expectations are. Be a playoff team, Super Bowl contender, rebuild. You know, I would take a shot at him if I had no running back, absolutely. But to me, at LSU, we all thought he was going to be all world, and he really hasn't turned out that well.
And I'm of two minds on this because from a fantasy perspective, been a total disappointment. The last 2 years, been a total fantasy disappointment. But from a talent perspective, when you take out all the other numbers and you look at him from just a pure running back talent, he's a very talented running back. He just happens to get injured. And so, like,
he has 19 combined.
If I was a team that wanted to take a chance on his talent, I would send a third round pick, maybe a second round pick. But it's hard to quantify.
Last year, he only had 3 touchdowns last year. I mean, that's not getting any end zone.
Like I said, you got to separate the other numbers from what you actually see. And what you actually see is a running back who does have talent.
His rookie year, he carried the ball 268 times for 1,040 yards, caught 36 balls for 302 touchdowns combined for 302 yards combined for 10 touchdowns. His sophomore year, I think he played even a little better, but he only played 8 games, 439 yards, 5 touchdowns, again, 1 in the air. That to me is like, for a workhorse back, last year, 1,152 yards, 500 yards receiving, 3 touchdowns. You got to be finding the end zone with the ball in your hands. Like, especially if you're catching 76 balls, 0 touchdowns. Ugh, no thanks. Like,
yeah, I think if you could get a second round pick for him, I'm pulling the trigger. But I don't think so. I'll be honest with you.
Wouldn't you just, if you caught the ball 76 times, wouldn't you just fall into the end zone at least more than once? Like, that's what number, like, it doesn't even make sense. And he's saying he caught an average
ball
back.
76 times last year?
Yes, he did.
Yeah.
It was 6th in the NFL in yards of scrimmage, 1,674, which seems like a lot, but I remember watching NFL last year. How many Leonard Fournette highlights did you see? Do you remember?
Not
enough. But that just goes to show that, you know, there is a difference between the numbers and the talent.
He caught a lot of, you know, Gardner Minshew. He got a lot of catches that way, but when he came out of LSU compared to now, I think he's a slight disappointment as an NFL in his NFL career.
He's not scoring. That's the whole point. And I don't know what the, you know.
Yeah, but you know.
He has a lot of yards. Cool.
There may be. I think he's set for some positive progression just naturally. Like, if you catch.
Hold up. I'm sorry. I got to interrupt. Julio Jones. Julio Jones is one of the best wide receivers in the NFL. Go check his numbers by year touchdown wise. And there's been years where he's scored 2 or 3 touchdowns a season, and he's still been regarded as one of the best wide receivers, and he has fantastic numbers.
Julio Jones has 126 games played. Do you know how many touchdowns he has in 126 games?
I'm gonna say maybe just over
57. 57 touchdowns in 125 games. Really bad. Less than one per. But I. Yeah, I mean, there are years. I mean, was it 2017 that we were waiting? It started where he finished 2017 and started 2018 with, like, a consecutive, like, 16 games without falling into the end zone. He has 9 touchdowns combined those 2 seasons. Yeah, I mean, I guess, but, yeah, I don't know.
I'm just saying, from a fantasy perspective, Leonard Fournette has been a total disappointment. I'm not going to argue that. But from a running back talent, He's been average to above average.
Okay, let's move on. Talk about football quite a bit. I wanted to throw one last thing down: food and sports. I haven't eaten yet tonight. I'll plan on getting a little bit of that later on. And one of the things I miss the most about sports is the opportunity to share some great food with friends. I know I want to bring Bernone back into the conversation here. He's been here drooling out the corner of his mouth while we're talking about football.
Thank you, guys.
We throw the soccer out there, and if you go to a soccer tailgate, man, you're going to find people all over the world cooking all kinds of great food. What is your favorite soccer?
Oh man, that's a tough question. It depends on the day, depends on the game, depends on the day, depends on the crowd, right? Like if we have also the game time, if we have a game, if we have a breakfast tailgate, right? If the Red Bulls are playing, then we have an American breakfast. If it's a Costa Rica U.S. game, have a Costa Rican Costa Rican meal outside. So it depends. But if we're to Red Bull, generally we try to get a little bit of everything. We get together a day or two, a bunch of the crew, and we decide what we're going to have. And everybody puts in a little bit, anything from steaks, empanadas, omelets.
What's that cheese you guys bring? You fry cheese on
the floor. Oh, you go to the bodega, you get the white cheese, slice it up, put it on the grill, man. That's going to make your morning. That and some coffee with Bailey's.
Why haven't I gone to a soccer game? Jeez.
That's the way we're doing it, man. Breakfast tailgates are the best. We have the griddles for the grill. Just throw some pancakes down on there, being the whole deal. We're throwing out.
Might have to be an I-80 team outing there.
There is. It was just before you. You're the red curse. You're the reason why we can't go to soccer games.
Yeah, we started baseball and coronavirus.
And then baseball was abruptly canceled. For me, I have like rituals when I go to different places. I'm not a hot dog, but I like you know the really thick skinned hot dogs. I don't like the texture of like the fat. But if I'm going to a baseball game, you gotta have a hot dog. Are we in agreement on that?
Never been to a baseball game, so I can't tell you.
What? I've only been to a couple in my life, and I kind of big fan of live. I prefer watching it. But I'll have a hobby.
Ralph, can you save me on this one?
Yeah, no.
Ballpark, I mean, you got to grab a dog.
Baseball game. Hot dog is the classic, or a nice bratwurst as well. I mean, you go to a ballpark, hot dog's synonymous with it. I mean, you got the foot-long dogs you can get. You got a Dodger dog.
Soft
pretzel.
You got to
have a hot dog. Soft pretzel.
Beer.
Beer and a hot dog, though, at a baseball game. There's few things like it.
Christine's wings out there saying vegan food for sports. Vegan food for sports. Isn't City Field opened up like a whole bunch of vegan? Now, don't get me wrong.
I've had it. It's very good. You cannot tell it's vegan. Marty's V-Burger, upper right field corner, tremendous. They got sushi. If you don't like fish, you can have vegan. They have many. I've even had the Nathan's vegan hot dog. Tastes exactly the same as a regular hot dog.
Can I ask a question? This is something that I've heard, and I just want to get since there's so many baseball people here, I'm just wondering, is food at baseball stadiums cheaper than at football stadiums?
No, Same overpriced. One thing you've noticed with the new stadiums, the food has changed. Like if you go to Baltimore, Boog Powell has got a barbecue pit in the right field corner. I mean, you can get like brisket and stuff like that. You go to the Phillies games at the stadium; they have a vegan cheesesteak stand. You can get like pasta. You can get it's crazy what's going on at these stadiums now. But you're paying an arm and a leg for it. A plain hamburger is like $12 or something. It's ridiculous.
This is why you tailgate.
Exactly. That's where you're going
outside.
You make your food. Buy what you want. You eat what you want, and then you go inside. And you don't pay for the overpriced stuff. I mean, let's be honest. Sometimes popcorn stale, the pretzel is stale, stale beer if you're into that stuff. We've all had it at these stadiums. Sometimes the experience is like, oh my God, this is great. I'm paying $18 for a Heineken, it's flat. I'm like, come on, man. You know what I'm saying? And it's happening. Right. You know what I mean?
Yeah, you're not going to eat crappy food. I'm going to kick it in the parking lot.
You know what I mean? You bring your own sport game and you save money and you eat better.
That's absolutely true. But I mean, I feel like baseball is like really, you know who has really terrible food? If you go to a hockey game, especially go to the Devils game, food's not that good. Food's pretty bad. I remember going there, you know, as a kid, and the game started at 7. You got to leave at like 5. You get food there.
Well, Fargo, Philadelphia has phenomenal food for the Flyers games and the Sixers games. I've been there. They got really good stuff. They have their own brewery inside also if you're at the beer. They make their own beer on site.
Nice.
Yeah, the Devils game food, the concessions at Prudential are not good. Unless you're sitting fire and ice, you shouldn't eat.
I never go. Like, I always expect to, like, if I'm going to buy something, it's like, all right, I'm going to eat it because I'm hungry and I didn't eat outside or I didn't have to eat. But, like, you know you're overpaying and you're like good quality stuff.
Yeah, some of the stuff around Prudential Center. Prudential Center, it's below par.
It's especially bad. If you go to a Red Bull 2 game, you can get a $1 hot dog and talk to the GM of the Red Bulls.
So the worst food is the old Giants. Mike, the nachos with that nasty nacho cheese sauce that sits in those big aluminum pans that sit in the basement. I don't want the rat would eat through the can and eat that was laying in the basement.
Great stuff.
The nachos at that old Giants thing were so bad, it was like $12. Oh my God, the jalapenos look like they're brown. They're not even green. Terrible, terrible, terrible old Giants team.
So what you're saying is we have it real good now.
Yeah, compared to with the old Giants team, yeah.
Back in my day.
Days at Giants team, how bad the food was. Oh my God. Oh my God. Terrible.
It's funny that
I never bought any.
Whenever Alex talks really loud and he leans forward, his mic cuts him out and he has no idea. So, like, every time he gets excited and starts talking loud, he starts cutting himself out and he doesn't. If anyone here has any questions to throw out, we're talking NFL draft, we're talking soccer, sports, I guess. Anything is up. There's a new NBA special out this week, the Michael Jordan documentary. I think it premieres tomorrow at either 8 or 9. They're doing 2 hours. I think there's 8 episodes or 10 episodes. They're doing 2-hour episodes every Sunday for the next 4 weeks. So if you guys are NBA fans, the documentary on Michael Jordan, that's a long, I mean, they're really pulling up if they're going 8 hours on this guy. Should be good. It's going to give us something to talk about over the next few weeks.
I mean, it's Michael Jordan. What do you expect?
So
we just dropped a pitchers top five baseball show. We're going to run down through all the positions throughout this quarantine with the baseball guys, myself, Ralph, and Nick Sergeant. So be on the lookout for some episodes on that. And that's coming down the next couple weeks. Hopefully gets us through the remaining weeks of the quarantine.
Absolutely. I posted a schedule of stuff we're going to be doing. I think either Monday or Tuesday this week, we're going to be dropping kind of a companion show to our NFL draft predictions. Like I said, me, Steve, and Eddie all put, you know, draft picks for all 32 teams. And we're going to be talking about that. We're not going to be going over all of them on the show. We're going to talk about the more controversial picks, the question marks. I looked at what we had. We had the same pick for the first three picks. Let's see if all three of those picks come to light. That episode is going to be dropping, like I said, either Monday or Tuesday. And that's going to be talking about, you know, controversial stuff, stuff for the draft pick. Maybe we'll talk a little bit about Mekhi Becton, about his failed drug test. We'll have a little more information maybe by then. So stay tuned for that. And then our really big show of the year is going to be the NFL draft show, and that's Thursday. We're starting 7:45. The draft starts at 8. So we're going to be having the TVs playing on behind us. We're going to be announcing the picks as they come up. We hope you join us and talk about, you know, where teams went right, where teams went wrong. We can talk about trades as they go down. We might even lower the resolution of our screen just a touch so that we're even closer to real life. Let us know what you think about that. If you want us to drop down to like 720p, we can, you know, drop our frame rates down and make sure that we're there live with you talking about all the picks. We hope you guys join us for that. I'm really excited, like really, really excited for our live hangout. We want to have you guys, everyone on there, tell your friends, get them up. Let's get these discussion boards going Thursday.
Listen, somebody in the comments wants to talk about Alex. Alex, shirt. Alex. We can't see it. You got to move it up.
I don't know what that is. Is that wrestlers?
Yeah, oh my God.
Four Horsemen?
The Four Horsemen, the greatest faction for wrestling. The great, you can take your end up slow, you can take your shield, the dub it, you know where. These guys are perfect, original, they're the best. Ric Flair, Ole and Arn Anderson, Tully Blanchard, and James J. Dillon. The greatest faction of all time, there is no second place. Simple as that. The game
I don't
is
know,
over.
Man. I don't know. If you fast forward.
It's under Ric Flair. After that, there is you play for second place. Everything else is second place.
Oh, man, you fast forward to the Attitude Era, you got a couple of guys that can compete.
I don't. I dug the John Cena fight on WrestleMania, actually.
That was horrible. That was terrible.
I actually liked it. That was like the one fight I've ever watched in my life.
The John Cena won that fight against Bray Wyatt?
Yeah. That was the only night of wrestling I've ever watched in my entire life.
The last wrestling match I ever remember watching was some Halloween special where Hulk Hogan got put in a coffin and somebody had to wrestle to get Hulk Hogan out of the coffin. I think it was like 19.
The Undertaker's involved automatically.
That sounds like
it was like I think it
sounds
like
any WrestleMania ever.
1992.
Yeah, it's probably.
Yeah,
it was probably one of those in your house shows back where it's like old pay per view. But no, I mean really different. It was very, very different.
No fans.
It was another sport without fans, not good. And wrestling also live. If you got good seats, wrestling live is.
Oh yeah, but you got to have good seats to wrestling events. If you don't have good, you're not gonna have a good experience. You got to be like you got to be in the lower level, lower bowl, maybe first 15, 20 rows, or you're better off watching
absolutely.
It.
Absolutely.
I would have.
Sorry, go ahead.
I would right now. I would have Joe Buck talk me through a women's field hockey game, and I'd watch it with a smile on my face.
Have you been seeing the things that that Joe Buck has been doing on his Twitter?
No,
taking mundane things and doing like a sports broadcast kind of thing with it.
No,
it is so hilarious.
I try to not think about Joe Buck the most I can.
I like Joe Buck. He's not
bad. You're alone. His mom doesn't even like him. Joe Buck's mom's favorite announcer is Tony Romo. That's what I heard. Joe Buck's mom's favorite announcer is Start the Room.
You like Joe Buck?
No.
I like him as a film. Think that he's not the worst sports announcer I've heard.
He tells you the most obvious thing that happens. Like, he literally just
I mean, John Madden was horrible. I'm not saying
John Madden was good either, but Joe Buck is literally telling
I'm just saying. I prefer to listen to Joe Buck than John Madden.
John Madden was Booker, but before people realized how bad he was. Like, he would be like, if you want to get the run game going, you got to put the ball on the ground and run it. Thanks, John Madden.
Old Al Michaels and John Madden commentary is just hilarious because Al Michaels would actually, like, ask for actual analysis, and John Madden would just be like,
good talk, guys. I think this show has jumped the shark officially. Any last words from Bernon?
No, I appreciate it. I hope you guys are all staying safe. Let's try to get through this. I expect to see everyone here at Red Bulls game, first one back. I'll see you guys all there.
If you're cooking, I'm in.
I have my Red Bulls hoodie waiting.
Right. Bernon is the designated eater. He's not really the chef. Ralph, you got any last words for us?
Oh, just looking forward to the draft coming up. It's actually, I think, the first draft I'm actually looking forward to, waiting to see what my Denver Broncos decide to do with their 15th pick, whether they're going to trade up, trade down, stay and pick. But looking forward to the Denver Broncos and who they're picking this Thursday.
Nick.
Yep, looking forward to the draft. Looking forward to some sort of excitement in sports. Stay safe, stay inside, everyone. Let's get through this another day closer.
We've been watching people come and go for most of the night. I think we're up to 14 right now watching. We were up as high as 10. I've seen new faces in and out. We don't want to see that during the draft. You guys, get your computers up. Get them going. This guy's got his Santa hat on. I don't know what's going on.
It's my Red Bulls hat.
Hey, I got my Ohio State hat on, repping Ohio State. just to get Alex going.
Why?
Okay.
He's hiding. He's been fan. He's hiding. Come on.
Alex is here. He is a coronavirus survivor. He's fighting the good fight.
Right, Sir Alex.
Thank you.
Sir Alex.
I'm very lucky. We'll say this. We need to flatten this curve if we're going to watch. Until you see that curve being really flat, don't expect anything anytime soon. That's the way I'm looking at it. Yeah. And, I mean, I want to see sports back. I don't know how it's going to happen. I don't care if it's empty stand. If it's on my TV, I want to watch it. Sports. I'm looking forward to that time where 2020, 2021, whatever it is. We got to flatten that curve. Guys, stay home. There's no reason to go out there. It's like The Walking Dead. Trust me. I got this. You do not want this. Take this serious.
And we're glad to have you back with that shiny dome on camera once again. Anyone else? Oh, Steve, last word.
You kind of touched on what I wanted to say about the fans tonight. Like, this is 2 weeks in a row that we've had consistent high numbers from our fans. Guys, thank you so much.
It was me.
Thank you for everyone who comes to these live shows. We love doing this for you guys. We just want to try to give you some sense of normalcy and some sense of entertainment in these times. So thank you for allowing us to entertain you for the time that you allow us.
Absolutely. I talked enough, guys. We're watching ID Sports.